Good day. My name is Michelle. Welcome to Nova's Business Report. And on the Market Watch with me today, I have Robert McGregor from Ceres. And Ceres recently released their growth outlook. They've revised their numbers slightly. Rob, let's go through it sector by sector. Thank you very much again for being my guest. Where do you see the growth upside, or where have you revised growth upwards?
Hi, Michelle. Yes. So, I mean, we've actually started revising our numbers down more than up at this stage. You know, there are a few sectors where there are some, I guess, positive externalities driving a better growth outlook. So, you know, the higher gold prices, you know, being and uranium prices being good for those sectors, the better rain forecasts that, you know, sort of keep coming through, the National Weather Service last month sort of saying that we should have above average rainfall for the central and northern parts early next year. So they're the those sort of sectoral outlooks are quite positive. But amongst a range of other sectors, we've actually started revising downwards. And on an overall basis, our growth forecasts have dropped to about 3% now for this year.
From where?
From over the last sort of year or so, it's ranged between 3.5% to 4%, but we've now revised down to 3%.
Okay. Let's look at the sectors where you see the biggest contractions.
So we're a bit worried about a few. Obviously, the diamond sector is looking a bit fragile given sort of the weak prices globally. Namibia's diamonds, luckily, sort of holding up relatively well compared to what you see elsewhere in that market. But we think that there's obviously going to be a need to reduce diamond output amongst others. But then we're also, I think, starting to see the chances that the rest of the economy not necessarily is going to contract, but we just don't see strong growth coming through anymore. And so there's a few reasons for this. One of them is that we've come off a relatively low base over the last few sort of years. And so there's obviously a bit of a higher base now. But in addition to that, late last year, we had that sort of very useful consumer stimulus. We had the personal income tax amendments. We've had 100 basis points worth of repo rate cuts. We had those civil service wage adjustments early last year, and those all provided, you know, a nice bit of consumer relief very quickly into the tail end of last year, the start of this year. But subsequent to that, it feels like consumers have maxed themselves out again very quickly, and we're back where we started. There's no further stimulus. And so for that reason, we don't see sort of direct growth coming from that. But I'm also worried that outside of oil and gas, outside of mining, we're going to see further slowdown in investment. And if we see a slowdown in mining and oil and gas as well, that's going to be quite bad for the economy.
Yeah. I mean, it's stating the obvious, but, you know, with growth and FDI are always quoted separately. And then you'll see quite pedestrian growth, but then the FDI just booms. And I mean, as I said, it's stating the obvious why there is a D-link, but it remains a question, isn't it?
Yes. And I mean, what we've seen is if you look at the GDP numbers, so if you've done economics 101, you'll know that the GDP formula you typically look at from the demand side is GDP is equal to household spending, government spending, investment, and then your net exports. And so the net export component, if you dig into Namibia's data, outside of mining and oil and gas, investment has been in decline steadily every single year since 2015. It tells us that mining, oil and gas, the extractive sectors have masked a lot of what's been going on in the economy. And outside of those, the public sector, as well as the remainder of the private sector, don't have confidence in the economy. They aren't investing in the economy.
Okay, so let's dive into that. What would you say are the main contributors?
I think there's just a lot of hesitance, and policy presents itself as a big risk there. I mean, you're not going to invest, you know, if you've got a company, you're not going to reinvest in your company or in this country if you're not convinced that there's going to be good long-term returns off of that you're going to be able to make that money back in a few years. And I think, you know, we had sort of that bad period from 2015 to 2019, which obviously meant there wasn't going to be reinvestment. We then had COVID. Coming out of COVID, we had sort of initially sort of a bit of better growth coming off the low base, the oil and gas sort of investment boom that came through. But companies still aren't convinced that oil and gas is credible, that it is here to stay. And so I think what we see is a lot of people are holding off until we've got a firm answer. Do we know if this is going to happen? Yes or no? If we do know it's going to happen, great. I think, you know, we'll see lots of people running to the banks. But without it, I think, you know, a lot of people are holding off to wait and see where we go. And the policy direction for me is a concern. I think that that will see big investment in mining and oil and gas likely pushed further back and resulting in this sort of gradual slowdown again.
But what I'm hearing, what you're saying is it's not necessarily only the policy uncertainty in the oil and gas and mining space, but general policies with regards to investment. I mean, you have said in one of our previous interviews as well, the fact that the investment bills and legislation aren't getting finalized. So that's also a factor that entrepreneurs take into account.
Definitely. I mean, when you put your money back in, you want to make sure that you'll be able to get it back with time, right? And multiply it hopefully over time as well. So, I mean, we've been dragging certain legislation, including the Investment Promotion and Facilitation Bill, for the last, say, 10 years. And if we look at the direction that this new administration is taking, it is a bit of a concern. I mean, an example is what we've seen in the oil and gas and the mining sector, you know, looking at, all right, we're going to start having completely new requirements. We're going to change the rules of the game. We're going to force local ownership. We're going to force you to do more domestically, even though it isn't your responsibility. The mines pay a lot of tax, but we expect them to do more and contribute more. And other sectors will look at this and go, you know, this isn't what a growing, successful economy does. And what's to say that we won't be next once this doesn't work out?
Construction, how's construction doing?
I think the sector has had sort of a bit of an uptick over the last year or two, but again, it's been highly concentrated in a handful of areas. It's been mining related. It's been sort of a tourism linked. We've had some sort of high net worth offshore individuals building themselves very nice places here. The new land bill will put an end to projects like that. But the issue that we see is that there's been only a slight uptick in activity. And because the sector is so small compared to what we've seen so much disinvestment in that sector that a slight uptick in activity suddenly means the industry is at capacity. And we don't have any sort of major mega projects very clearly on the cards anytime soon that will result in a big uplift in the sector. So for the moment, it feels like it will just be ambling along until we get clear direction.
How regularly do you bring out a revision on your growth?
So we tend to focus our main publications twice a year, January and July. For now, we are just cautious. I mean, we're still forecasting 3% growth. It's much better than what we see in most of our neighboring countries. I think South African economists would be gunning to be able to, you know, talk about 3%.
Exactly.
But it's well below what we need. You know, we've seen historically that for job creation, for instance, we need growth upwards of 4-4.5% for several years at a time.
Yeah, given especially the size of our problem there. Okay, well, that means I'm going to phone you again in January and see if the news looks a bit different. But hopefully, I mean, I've been at a conference of late where the policy in the ONG space was specifically referred to, and hopefully there will be some direction on this, you know. So, but Rob, thank you very much again for talking to me, and until the next time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.